Gattis pointing the bat out towards Ziegler as he waits for the right-hander to come set. Now the 1-2. Swing and a foul tip that is held on to by the catcher Castillo, and that is the ball game. The Houston Astros lose to the Arizona Diamondbacks, getting shut out today, with Arizona winning a pitcher's duel, beating the Astros 3-0.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to Astro Launch. This is Steve Sparks, and I've got a special guest today, the special assistant to the general manager and, of course, Hall of Famer Craig Biggio. And Biggio, I want to talk to you a little bit today about All-Star games. And you've, in particular, played in a lot of All-Star games. It's coming up next month, and the Astros have a couple of guys potentially that are going to be in that game. Tell me about some of your fondest memories.
I think it's it's always an honor and a privilege to get the opportunity to go and represent your team in the National League is in which we were in. But it was, I remember the first one, and it was in Toronto when I was a catcher. I was the first Astro catcher to go, and I just remember how excited I was to be around all these big name guys and big stars, and we ended up losing the game. And then the next year I went to San Diego, and it was at second base, and I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm like in the All-Star game as a second baseman. And
who was the shortstop in that game, do you remember?
It was probably Ozzie. Yeah. I mean, I'm playing next to one of the greatest shortstops of all time, and I'm playing my first three months that I've ever played the position before. That's and great. I'm in the All-Star game, right? So, I mean, it's just different things you think about. From Pittsburgh, I remember we had five Astros there with John Hudak was the fifth guy, and that was awesome. We won the game. I always appreciate how hard it is to get there. And it's not easy to get on that team. Yeah, and I remember that because you always got to have representation from every team. And I've had some great first halves, and I didn't go, and it's kind of like, wow, man, it's just, but so whenever I had the opportunity to go, it was seven of them, I loved it and cherished it and had a lot of fun with it.
Do you remember any of the particular coaches' speeches before the game? Any of them stand out for you?
Oh, there's just some of them that you probably can't repeat all the words to them, but Jim Fregosi was like, look, he came in and had some nice things to say, and he's like, look, I hated the American League, let's beat these guys, And this was a stretch when the American League was just dominating the National League, and they beat us every year.
Yeah.
And I think they beat us again, but but it was a great speech because it was like kind of like, hey, man, this is, you're playing a game, let's win it. Yeah. And I was home a couple months ago, and I was going through a closet, and I was looking at some of these baseballs that I collected from the All-Star, and I'm like looking at it like, you got to go back to the 91, 92. How many Hall of Famers are on there now? Like, it's crazy. I was just kind of pinching myself going, I played with these guys. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Is it pretty cool thinking about getting a chance to go back to Cooperstown this year? First time without as much pressure, you don't have to think about the speech and accommodating so many people. You can just go and relax.
I am, and that's what all the Hall of Famers said. Just get through the first year. Yeah. The first year is going to be like a rookie, when you just got called up and you're like, there's so many stuff going on and things are happening so fast. And then your second year and every year after that, you go up, you have fun, you play golf. You don't have the stress. It's just going up and enjoying it and really respecting and appreciating the fact of the club that you're in and the plaque you have on the wall and getting the opportunity to enjoy the festivities for the weekend. So we're really looking forward to it and looking forward to going every year.
6 days from now, pretty interesting how it comes full circle, but your son Kevin's got a chance to get drafted pretty high. Went to Notre Dame, had a great career there. Exciting moment for the entire family, I would imagine.
It is. It's, you always want the best for your kids, but you got in baseball, you got to go out there and you got to play. And he's had a nice career at Notre Dame, and we're excited for him. And hopefully, on the first day of the draft, hopefully you get a phone call on the first day. And if they don't get it the first day, hopefully you get one on the second day, because it's the unknown. You don't know. You can speculate, and you think where you're going to go or slide. But I'm excited for him. The kid's worked hard, and whoever gets him is going to get a really good baseball player.
Last thing with Craig Biggio. Craig, overall view, you're around this team all the time. You're in the clubhouse. You know these guys. You still think they have enough in the tank to get where they want to get this year?
I think they do. I mean, it's, you know, baseball's a tough game, as you know. And the hardest thing for this year is that you, going into the season, was that you weren't going to sneak up on anybody.
Yep.
You know, last year you had the opportunity where, hey, these guys are good and they're playing really well, and then all of a sudden you got in the playoffs. Now, your expectations going into this year is totally a little bit different. The talent level's the same. It's probably a little bit better than it was last year. So they just got to keep going out there and winning series, and remember, you know, just don't get too frustrated when you're hitting a couple of the low spots a little bit. Yep. But just keep grinding and keep playing, and they do. They, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So as long as they keep winning series, you're always going to have a chance. So I believe in them, and I think they believe in themselves now after this nice little 5-game stretch that they had.
There you go. That's Craig Biggio. Thanks for catching up.
You got it, Sparky. Thank you.
Back with more Astro Launch right after this.
The following minute of Astros history featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
On this day in 1997, I was a rookie manager feeling the pressure. We had just returned from San Diego and were playing the Dodgers in the Dome, starting a homestand, a game and a half behind the Pirates. One thing I witnessed in the broadcast booth but never fully appreciated until I got into the dugout again was the greatness of Jeff Bagwell, especially his ability to lift the team in a time of need. On June 3rd, Daryl Kyle took a 3-1 lead into the eighth, but he couldn't get anybody out. After two singles and a double, I went to the bullpen. The Dodgers ended up scoring two runs to tie it. In the bottom of the eighth, Bagwell off with a single, stole second, but didn't score. When he came up in the bottom of the tenth, he didn't leave anything to chance as he launched a Scott Rudinsky fastball into the mezzanine for a walk-off homer.
Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Pretty flawless. And to have him have four pitches, he had them all getting over for strikes. He had him throw, he could throw them for balls when he wanted to. He was in complete control of the game. There was very little room for error, on our side. And he proved to be too tough of a task for us.
And it was a pitcher's duel for much of the game between Greinke and Dallas Keuchel. And Keuchel, 6 scoreless, and then the seventh inning ran into a little bit of trouble. But that's still 2 really good outings by Dallas Keuchel, which is good to see.
Yeah, Dallas do fine, and I'm glad that he's been able to put back-to-back starts together and feel good about it. I mean, he's a competitor, so he's not going to be satisfied with having to leave the game in the seventh. And they put a couple good swings on him in the seventh. But that's the form that we expect when we put him on the mound every 5 days. He ran into another former Cy Young Award winner in Zach Greinke and got beat. But outings like that will start to lead us to those expected outcomes when he pitches.
When you have a game like that where you're facing a pitcher of the caliber of a Zach Greinke, especially when you have your ace on the mound and Keuchel against him, how does that change how you game plan and how you go through a game, manage a game?
I think all of us try to get to, all managers will try to get the first run and be done with it, yeah. and get the lead, because it puts so much pressure on the other dugout when you have a formidable ace on the mound that you're facing. And you play a little smaller game, you might try to bunt a guy over, you might try to situationally align your team a little bit, make sure that you try to get the lead. And neither of us had great opportunities until the seventh inning when they got back-to-back hits. And that proved to be, exactly the type of pressure that was put on us that we try to put on others by scoring.
Chris Devinsky pitching the last couple of innings, and I don't think Devinsky's pitched in a game yet that the Astros have won, which includes his starts where he ran into a little bit of tough luck in 3 of them, but he's really been a valuable member out of your bullpen, even in a game like that, saving some other guys for your bullpen haven't been taxed.
Yeah, he's versatile, and in his role, to his defense, he's not going to pitch in a ton of games where you're winning unless
right.
He comes in an extra inning game and that you end up winning. He's that troubleshooter that gets you out of trouble or soaks up a few of the innings in close games, trying to give us as much opportunity to score as we can. And he does a great job of getting through the lineup in small number of pitches. Very rarely can you have a long man or a man with length in a bullpen and have him double up on games. He's available today after 2 innings because of how efficient he was with his pitches. So he attacks these guys when he gets in there, whether he starts, whether he relieves, whether it's a close game, whether it's a blowout. And that style is very, very valuable in the pen.
Evan Gattis catching his 4th straight game. Part of that is obviously because Jason Castro has been under the weather, but I'd imagine it has to be somewhat good for him because he's getting reacclimated, get a few days in a row, continue to work on things, and just continue to get reacclimated.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as he's catching our guys, now he's caught every starter at least once. He's caught the bullpen guys. They're very comfortable with him. He's very comfortable with them. The working with Strami in the dugout, our interactions in game between manager and catcher, All of those things are in the rearview mirror now, and we can start to move forward with him game planning, you know, as if he's not breaking in, but more so as if he's advancing. You know, we win games when he catches, and that's another reason why he continues to get these opportunities of how he runs the game.
AJ Hinch, thanks for joining us.
You got it.
Visit Astros.com/radio to hear all your favorite players, up-to-date interviews, highlights, and more. Get connected with your Astros at Astros.com/radio.